You are Locked On Seahawks, your daily Seattle Seahawks podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, 12. This is Corbin Smith, your host for Locked On Seahawks. Happy crossover Thursday to all of our listeners. John Butchko of Locked On Jets and I will be teaming up to break down Sunday's upcoming Week 14 matchup between the Seahawks and Jets at Lumen Field. Thanks to a lack of natural athleticism or commitment or overbearing sports parents, fewer than 1% of 1% of 1% of people will ever play professional football. But instead of entering the NFL, they've joined another league, the League of Football Watchers. This football season will be different, and Pepsi is here to get you ready for game day, no matter how you watch. Pepsi is the refreshment you need to power through any game day, because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game. It's made for those who watch it. Pepsi, made for football watching. Now for your lead story here on Locked On Seahawks. For the second time in his nine-year NFL career, Russell Wilson has been nominated as a finalist for the 2020 Walter Payton Man of the Year Award. This honor was named after the legendary Bears Hall of Fame running back Walter Payton. It's a prestigious award that honors a player each year who exemplifies outstanding community service activities off the field as well as excellent on it. And obviously, Russell Wilson checks off both of those boxes. Under center for the Seahawks, he's thrown 259 regular season touchdown passes. He holds 23 major franchise records. He's led the Seahawks to a Super Bowl championship earlier this year. He became the winningest quarterback in NFL history through his first nine seasons. He's only the second player ever with 3,000 passing yards and 20 passing touchdowns in each of his first nine seasons. So even though Russell Wilson, as of late, has not been playing as well, has been slumping a bit for the Seahawks, he's been one of the NFL's best quarterbacks for close to a decade, and he has set so many franchise records for the Seahawks. So on the field, he certainly fits the bill as a nominee for the Seahawks for this award. But really what jumps out, and this is something I tried to emphasize on the show earlier this week, there's been a lot of questions about Russell Wilson having off-field distractions and maybe that playing into his issues on the field. And I can tell you, Russell Wilson has always been somebody that has taken the time out of his day to help others, and that's never impacted his play. So again, it's a ridiculous notion. The reason Russell Wilson is a nominee for this award for the second time in his career, and really you could nominate him every single season, is he makes an impact not just in the Seattle community, but well beyond it. He helps people from all walks of life. This has been the most challenging year of our lifetimes with the COVID-19 pandemic. And you look at everything that Russell Wilson has done. Back in March with the Seattle Food Lifeline, he and his wife Sierra donated 1 million meals to struggling families to open up this pandemic. And then he partnered up with an aviation company called Wheels Up, and he was helping put food on the table for those that have been impacted by losing jobs, schools being closed during the crisis. And these efforts have yielded over 47 million meals to this point for Feeding America. And it hasn't just been those efforts that have made an impact helping people this year. His Why Not You Foundation has worked with the United Way Worldwide, Rockefeller Foundation, and DoorDash so they can provide food and other valuable supplies to vulnerable families. This was supposed to be a pilot program when it was launched in April. They've already had more than 1 million deliveries to 175 communities. And this pandemic has obviously exposed a lot of other issues, lingering inequalities and injustices for Americans of color. Wilson and his wife, Sierra, have made an impact in that regard too, placing billboards around the country, reading Black Lives Matter, Love Russell and Sierra. They teamed up with the I Am a Voter campaign, trying to show everyone the importance of registering to vote and bring positive change to the country. Wilson was a catalyst for the Seahawks organization, having 100% voter participation on the team. So he hasn't just been doing it with his own organization. He has been making a difference outside of the walls of the VMAC in Seattle and beyond. And this is a player that has been doing things for the community ever since he was drafted. He's had more than 600 pediatric patients that he has visited with at Seattle's Children's Hospital. His notable Tuesday visits that this year he has not been able to do in person, but he has maintained with virtual visits. Nothing is going to stop Russell Wilson from making a difference for people. And he also launched an academy, the Why Not You Academy, a tuition-free charter school that's going to open in 2021 with the goal of reimagining education through mentorship-based programs. And that's going to be in Des Moines, Washington, again, starting in 2021. So I could keep reading all the different things that Russell Wilson has done over the years. That was just this year, the things that he has done to impact people from numerous walks of life. Russell Wilson never turns a cheek to anyone that is in need, neither does Sierra. They are outstanding human beings. So I'm going to hammer this home again. You can criticize Russell Wilson's play in the last three or four games all that you want. And you can say it's the play calling or he's holding on to the ball too long. If you still think it's the offensive line, whatever, those things are fine. You can fairly criticize Russell Wilson as one of the highest paid quarterbacks in football. Go for it. But don't bring up the things that he does off the field and say that that is the problem, because it's not. Again, it's ridiculous. This is a player. This is a man that has done so many incredible things for young people, for families that are struggling to put meals on the table. He's helped the military in the past. He's helped cancer patients, raising money for cancer. He has done countless quality deeds as a philanthropist, and he deserves to be honored for that. So there's a lot of other really good people in the NFL that are up for this award. Who knows if he's actually going to win it this time? He didn't win in 2014, but if he does win it at NFL Honors before the Super Bowl, on top of the $40,000 donation to charity of choice that he gets for simply being one of the 32 nominees, he will get an additional $250,000 donation. And knowing how Wilson has operated throughout his time in the Pacific Northwest, you know that money is going to be put to good use helping people. So pulling for him for a chance to win this award. It's an award that he said his father would be extremely proud of because he was a big Walter Payton fan. And of course, the impact that he's having on people's lives, that's really what matters, not what he's doing between the lines on a football field. When I return in the second quarter, I'll be joining forces with John Butchko of Locked On Jets. The two of us will be breaking down Sunday's upcoming Week 14 matchup, the Jets coming to Lumen Field to face off against the Seahawks. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Locked On Seahawks podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. As an avid runner and weightlifter, it's never easy to stay on top of your game. Whether I'm trying to increase my max on bench press or cut my best mile time by 10 seconds, there are always obstacles and you have to find a way to power through them. What is your wall and how do you run through it? For me, I turn to Built Go, the healthy replacement for your energy drink. Coming from the makers of Built Bar, you know it's top quality and delicious. Easy to take in 1.5-ounce packages, it's the best workout gel on the market without the crash feeling you get from products such as 5-Hour Energy because it's all natural with 1/3 of the caffeine of a monster drink. Built Go comes in 3 delicious flavors, including peanut butter honey, chocolate coconut, and chocolate mint. Loaded with the good stuff to help me power to my goals, it includes fast-absorbing collagen protein, beta-alanine, B3, honey, and a kick of caffeine to help me get going and promote joint, soft tissue, hair, and skin health. This stuff literally makes you look better. Visit BuiltGo.com and use promo code LOCKED, and you'll get 30% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKED for 30% off at BuiltGo.com. Let's go. Greetings, 12s and Jets fans. This is Corbin Smith for Locked On Seahawks, along with John Butchko of Locked On Jets. It is crossover Thursday, week 14. Hard to believe we are this deep already into the 2020 season. The Jets will be coming out to Lumen Field to face the Seahawks. John, how are you doing? Glad to team up with you here for this crossover.
I'm doing well. Only a couple of weeks left in the 2020 season, only a couple of weeks left in the year 2020, and I think Jets fans are looking forward to both ending.
Yeah, I think you could say everybody is looking forward to the second part of that ending. I think we're all ready for 2021. Let's talk this matchup here. Obviously, the Jets coming in winless, nearly finally got their first victory. They came up just short last week. And of course, Greg Williams gets the boot. So that's got to be the first topic that we talk about here. Greg Williams has been under fire all season long. The defense has regressed tremendously. Of course, Jamal Adams was looking forward to facing his former coordinator this week, and now the only thing that Williams is going to be able to do is watch this game on TV. What are your expectations for Frank Bush taking over as the new defensive coordinator? Do you expect any significant changes, especially being this late in the season?
No, and I get the feeling that there was more to it than just this was not really a football move. There have been rumors that about – Adam Gase and Greg Williams clashing. Earlier in the season, Williams made some public comments criticizing the offense. You wonder what was going on behind the scenes, because ultimately the Jets are 0-12. And that's mainly because of the players that they have. Greg Williams did send a pretty ill-advised blitz late in the game against the Raiders, which the Raiders scored a game-winning touchdown on with 5 seconds left. And the defense has not played well this season. As you mentioned, Jamal Adams not being here has a lot to do with that. But ultimately, there's just a lack of talent on this defense. And getting rid of Greg Williams kind of felt like a move Adam Gase made because he could. It's not a move that's going to fix this unit. It's not a move that's going to correct what's wrong with this unit. And that's that there's just a general lack of talent across the board. And if there was a way to fix this unit, they don't have enough time to do it because there's only 4 weeks. And I don't think Frank Bush is the guy to do it. Frank Bush has not been a coordinator in this league in a decade. And the last time he was a coordinator, it was with the Houston Texans back in the year 2010. And that unit was not very good. So it's difficult to say what's going to change schematically because, again, Bush has not been a coordinator in 10 years, and the NFL is a very different place. Offensive schemes are very different than they were the last time he was a coordinator. But I don't think anything that really matters is going to change. This is still a Jets unit with very shaky edge rusher group, playing with backup linebackers who are playing hard, but they're still backups, and a group of corners who really should not be starting in the NFL. So I don't think that the change is going to make that big of a deal. We had a pretty bad defense before, and we're going to have a pretty bad defense after the change.
Yeah, I think the Williams move, as you pointed out, with him calling that ill-advised blitz, it really was just the perfect final straw for Adam Gase to be able to get rid of him. But the talent gap is obviously a major issue for this football team. That being said, there is one player on this team, and I couldn't believe there were trade rumors out there heading into the trade deadline. I don't know if the Jets actually ever really were entertaining this idea, but Quinnen Williams has been an absolute monster the last 5 games. Double-digit quarterback hits, 4 sacks during that time, starting to really show why he was a top 10 pick. If there really is a bright spot for this football team, it has to be Williams and maybe some of those young safeties that are starting to get some experience right now. This is really all about those young guys, isn't it?
It really is. I think that this is essentially all now focused on the year 2021 and beyond. And the idea, I think, over these last 4 games, as much as anything, is to get these guys experience. And as you mentioned, Quinnen Williams has really emerged over the last few weeks. And he was a guy who got some criticism from this Jets fan base. And I've always said that he's kind of paying for the sins of guys who were here before him, because the Jets have invested a lot of early round picks on interior defensive linemen in the past 10 years. And the interesting thing is that outside of Quinton Coples, there really have not been any outright busts, but there have been guys who have not sustained. There have been guys who have gotten off to good starts in their career, but have not sustained that level of play. So I think people saw the Jets draft another interior defensive lineman, and they said, oh, you know, we've done it again. We're going to get another guy who's not going to have staying power. And it remains to be seen whether Quinnen Williams will be a 10-year starter for this team. But you're starting to see some of the frustration subside because he's starting to take over games. You know, early, you know, his first year and a half or so, he was a guy who was playing. He was effective, but he wasn't really a difference maker. And fans see this and they say it's another disappointing defensive line pick. I think now you're starting to see a guy put the pieces together and really be disruptive. He's been a tough guy to block for other offenses.
Let's look on the offensive side of the ball. And you mentioned the lack of talent on defense. The defense has been one of the worst in the NFL, but the offense has been absolutely the worst in the NFL, ranking 32nd in points, 32nd in yardage, near the bottom in passing, middle of the pack for rushing yards, but 31st in touchdowns. So those yards haven't translated to points. We got to start with the guy under center, Sam Darnold. It's obviously been another difficult season for him under Adam Gase. He's had some injuries, has only played 8 games. Joe Flacco started 4. The Jets' success didn't really change much, but Flacco at least had a positive touchdown to interception ratio. What are your thoughts right now on where Sam Darnold needs to go? What do you need to see from him the rest of this season? Obviously, if they have the number one pick, it's setting up with this being a really good quarterback class. They could go out and get somebody like Trevor Lawrence from Clemson. Do you think that we have reached that point now where the Jets have to go that route, even though Sam Darnold's only 23 years old?
Yes. Part of it is just that Trevor Lawrence is such a unique prospect. A lot of people are saying he's the best prospect in about 10 years. So Darnold has not shown you enough that you pass on a Trevor Lawrence. But overall, I think Darnold is just a broken quarterback right now. I think he's a worse quarterback than the guy the Jets drafted back in 2018. Part of that, I think, is due to how poorly they've built around him. They have not given him the receiving core you need to give a young quarterback. They have not built a good enough offensive line. The coaching, I mean, this is a team that hired Adam Gase because they thought Adam Gase could develop a young quarterback after what we saw with Ryan Tannehill in Miami. So I don't think all of the blame is on Darnold, and I do think Darnold is potentially salvageable, but Darnold is potentially salvageable is just not a good enough reason to pass on Trevor Lawrence when you have a chance to draft him. And ultimately, look, it also is about the player. I think Darnold has to take some ownership for his own lack of development because he's making mistakes you just can't make. I mean, he's throwing balls into traffic that just really awful decisions. I mean, there have been probably half dozen interceptions in the last year where all he had to do was throw the ball away. And instead, he throws the ball into heavy traffic, passes that have no chance of being completed. So it's an ugly situation right now. And I think the Jets are going to have to draft a quarterback this year.
The other thing that I think is worth noting with this Jets offense, because the couple games that I've watched, and I'm sure you would agree with me, it's been an extremely difficult year to watch the Jets offense in general, but Mekhi Becton, the first round pick out of Louisville, he's had a few injuries this year, but he has impressed me every game that I've watched. It's the one guy watching offense. Of course, Frank Gore, I've always had admiration for Frank Gore, and the fact he's 37 and can still run the ball in the NFL just astounds me. But Becton has been that one real bright spot, and there's even been some discussion, why aren't the Jets just sitting him because he's been banged up? And, what's your take on that, and what have been your overall impressions about him during his rookie season?
I think if he's good enough to play, he should play. But I agree with you. He's been very impressive so far this year. Now, I think he's probably coming off his worst game of the season, where he was responsible for a couple sacks against that led to fumbles, one of which I think was maybe a little bit more Darnold not climbing the pocket when he had an opportunity. But overall, he's more developed than I thought he was. He seemed like a bit of a project. He was not like a total overhaul kind of guy. He's not a total project, but it seemed like there were some technical things he needed to clean up when the Jets drafted him. But he's further along than I thought he'd be. He did not have a lot of natural pass snaps, not natural pass sets at Louisville, but he's been pretty solid in pass protection this year, and he really can move guys in the run game. So it seems like the Jets have found their left tackle of the future. They've been kind of searching for one the last few years since DeBrickashaw Ferguson retired. They've gone with a couple stopgaps. They had Ryan Clady in 2016, which really did not work out very well. Kelvin Beachum the last 3 years, who has been better but was not a long-term solution. I think the Jets have their left tackle of the future going forward in Becton.
That's the one thing I'll say about this Jets team. And if I am a prospective coach, I know there's a lot of people saying, why would you want to touch this franchise? They haven't been in the playoffs for a long time, and it just seems like it's just been constant rebuilding. But there are some intriguing young pieces. You've got a franchise left tackle there. You've got a really good defensive tackle in Quinnen Williams. You have a couple young players on the outside. I still think Denzel Mims has a chance to be a really good player. He's had some injuries this season, but there are certainly some pieces that would be intriguing, and the idea that you may get to coach up Trevor Lawrence as well with that top pick. The rest of this season, the Jets are looking forward to 2021, but certainly they're going to try to get back in the win column, you would think, and they've been close the last few weeks. And so there at least will be some good young players to watch if you're a Seahawks or Jets fan this weekend. When we come back for the next quarter, going to flip gears here, and we're going to be talking Seahawks. John is going to be dishing his questions to me going into this Week 14 matchup at Lumen Field. We'll be right back. This football season will be different, and Pepsi is here to get you ready for game day, no matter how you watch this season. If you're like me and can't wait to see Russell Wilson cook for the Seahawks this fall, Pepsi is the refreshment you need to power through game day and become a member of the League of Football Watchers. Because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game, it's made for those who watch it. Pepsi, made for football watching.
It's another edition of Crossover Thursday, Locked On Jets, Locked On Seahawks. I'm John from Locked On Jets, along with Corbin from Locked On Seahawks. And in this segment, Corbin's going to answer my question about the team from Seattle. And Corbin, I guess the first question I have to ask is about Mr. Adams. How has he fit in with the Seahawks this year?
You know, I think early in the season, there were certainly some growing pains, and this has just been such a weird year anyway with COVID and having a limited training camp. And then he gets hurt in week three when he was starting to really make an impact. He made some big plays the first couple games, but you could see there were some schematic stuff they were trying to work through. And then once he came back from that injury that he lost four games with, he banged up his shoulder too. There have been some issues with his aggressiveness costing him some in coverage. When he's been scheme sound, though, he's been very good in that aspect. And of course, he's been a monster rushing off the edge when they've blitzed him. Right now has over seven sacks. He's on pace to break the record for safeties, which Adrian Wilson holds, former Cardinals safety. He's got a real good chance. He could break that this weekend against his former team. And so I think you're starting to see him really mesh with the scheme, the Seahawks coaching staff figuring out how to best utilize him with his very unique skill set. And Pete Carroll was saying the other day that it's been a fantastic trade and they couldn't have asked for things to play out better. Obviously, they would have liked him to play in every single game this year, but he has been clicking on all cylinders the last couple weeks, and he's playing fantastic football.
And on the Jets side, having multiple first-round picks in the next 2 years certainly helps them a little bit. What you were talking about in the last segment about how this job could be a little bit more attractive than it may seem on paper to potential coaches. But let me shift gears a little bit because there's another former Jet on the Seahawks. I know he's been banged up a little bit, but how's Brandon Schell looked?
So I think Brandon Schell, I've actually mentioned this on a couple other radio shows this week, talking with people that cover the Jets. I think he is the best free agent signing that they made this offseason in terms of value and production. He has been really good in pass protection. They've missed him the last couple of weeks. Pro Football Focus has him close to an 80 grade in pass pro. And if you watch the film, he's been very clean in that regard. He's only given up five quarterback hits the entire season in 10 starts. And so he has been a major upgrade in that regard over Jermaine Ifedi, who at times was a turnstile at right tackle. And with Cedric Abuehi and some of the other tackles they've had to play the last 2 weeks of that position, you know that this offense, and especially Russell Wilson, he's very eager to get Brandon Schell back in the lineup. His run blocking has just been serviceable, but that's really what I saw on film. It looked to me like he was a better pass protector than he was a run blocker. He still made some nice run blocks for them this year. So I think in terms of value, a two-year, $11 million deal, he has played way better than what they paid him and really has been a great value there. They'll be happy to have him back this week, and I know he's eager to play against his former team, just like Jamal Adams is.
And, you know, it's funny. When he was drafted, DK Metcalf was a guy I had no idea how he was going to turn out, but I knew he was either going to be great or he was going to be a total bust. And it looks like it's the former. He looks like he's having a spectacular year for the Seahawks.
Oh, he absolutely is. And the thing that is scary is he's just going to be turning 23 years old. He is still a puppy. And when you consider his size and his athleticism and the fact that he has still had some issues with dropping passes that he can still clean up, he's improving as a route runner. You just rarely see a player that has the unique skill set and size and stuff that he has that also has an incredible work ethic to go with it. That is just a rare package you don't see often. This is a guy that is a tireless worker. And when he comes off a game, like he had 80 yards against the Giants this last weekend in their loss. And you know that he had to be beating himself up after the game because he had a key drop late in the game that might have given the Seahawks a chance to win it. And so that is what is really propelling him to the success that he's already having in this league is he's got a boulder on his shoulder from so many teams passing on him. You add the work ethic and just all the skills that he has. And it's crazy because he's one of the NFL's top receivers already in terms of yards and touchdowns, but it just feels like he's barely scratched the surface of his potential. And again, that's just the scary thing for other teams.
No, I've seen some talk this year that the Seahawks have maybe opened up their offense a little bit more than in years past and have entrusted Russell Wilson. Can you speak to any schematic changes from the Seahawks in 2020?
Well, the first five games of the year, they really were letting Russ cook. They were slinging the ball all over the field, and he was serving up, and he was a five-star diner. They were putting points on the board left and right, but that has regressed here in recent weeks. And just this last game against the Giants, Seattle, I think, needs to get back to running the ball a little bit more because they dropped back to pass 75% of the plays in that game. And I thought the offensive line did a really nice job, but this is a good Giants defense, and I felt like that was playing into their hands. And Russell Wilson just hasn't looked like himself for 4 or 5 weeks. This is the most prolonged slump that I've seen from him in his career. He's had his issues with feeling the pass rush. I think he thinks there's pressure coming when there really isn't. He hasn't been unloading the football. I think he's overcorrected a turnover issue he had for a couple games, and he's playing too cautious right now. So the let Russ cook movement has been really exciting, and I think that they still have to be putting the ball in their star quarterback's hands. But I almost wonder at this point, defenses of the season has gone on have gotten better. This is a weird year again. Offenses were scoring so many points. It seems like defenses are playing a lot better as the second half has gotten going here, and I think they're going to have to lean on guys like Chris Carson and Carlos Hyde. They're going to get Rashad Penny back soon, hopefully. He practiced today. So getting those players back on the field and getting the running game going a little bit, I think is going to be crucial for them because I just don't think that they're built to be a team that throws the ball 75, 80% of the time and do that consistently. As good as Russell Wilson is, it just doesn't really fit with Pete Carroll's ideology and with the way they've constructed the rest of the team. They need to be more aggressive than they've been in past seasons, but I think the run game actually needs to be something they lean on just a little bit more moving forward. Maybe that starts happening this weekend against the Jets.
Now, I'm not going to lie to you. I think most Jets fans are rooting for a loss this weekend. They're rooting for a Seahawks victory for draft position. But I know the Jets players and the Jets coaches are going to go out there and try and win this game. Can you tell us whether there are any common threads to see that we've seen in Seahawks losses this year that the Jets potentially could exploit if they're going to pull the upset?
It feels like, and you look back at the last couple of losses Seattle had when they lost to the Rams and when they lost this past weekend to the Giants, it seems like Russell Wilson's had trouble. Those two teams have done a really good job of disguising their coverages, and that might be tough for the Jets to do. You're moving in a new defensive coordinator. They've had their struggles, but that's been something that I think has given Russell Wilson some problems. And I need to look at the film a little bit more in depth, but it does seem like two deep safety looks. He's had a little bit more trouble that middle of the field open. I don't know if that's exactly what the issue has been, but he just has been more cautious the last couple of games, and it'd be nice to see him have the confidence to let it rip a little bit more. It feels like that's been a key for defenses, mixing in their blitzes, getting home, disguising their looks, confusing the line and Wilson a little bit. And on the flip side, as far as defense goes, the Seahawks were atrocious for most of the season, and yet the last 3 or 4 games, suddenly they're playing much better. And so they haven't really been the ones that have been at fault for the couple of losses they've had recently. They held the Rams to 24 points, and they held the Giants to 17 the other day. And so they're playing a lot better than they were. I would say that right now, though, still it looks like there might be ways you can run the ball on the Seahawks defense a little bit, and maybe they're still primed for some big plays. That being said, the secondary has been playing much better as of late. So really the key to their losses has been the offense has been struggling. It's kind of they're playing a game of whack-a-mole out there with Pete Carroll, like, I got my defense going, now the offense is stinking. So I think that's been the biggest key lately is the offense just hasn't been producing like they did, nowhere close to what they did the first 5 games of the year.
All right, Corbin, great chatting with you. I hope we have a good game on Sunday.
I hope so too. It's interesting. The Seahawks basically have not figured out how to put anybody away this year. And so, based on past precedent, I would expect, regardless of what the Jets' record is, that this game is probably going to go down to the wire because the Seahawks don't seem to know how to play games any other way. So, I would expect, and Jets fans listening, hey, you might want to lose the game, but I would expect that they're going to give the Seahawks a battle in this game because that's just how it's been every game this year for the most part.
Well, Corbin, let me tell you something. Is this game, if you're a Seahawks fan and it gets tight down the stretch, I'll think back to a famous line by the basketball coach Bobby Knight. who once said something like, I was nervous. And then I saw the other coach on the other sideline was, I think it was Dale Brown. If you're nervous about this game at Sunday at any point, just look at the Jets sideline and see that Adam Gase is there. And that will make you feel much better about things.
Well, we know one guy that's going to be looking over there at times during the game, maybe after making a few plays on defense, Jamal Adams. I think it's going to be a fun game. You've got some very interesting storylines, maybe not Williams versus Jamal Adams anymore since he's been fired, but certainly there's plenty of storylines for a game with a team that's 0-12 and the Seahawks trying to bounce back. Really looking forward to it. Thanks to everyone for listening to this Crossover Thursday special.